Good evening, everybody. It is very, very great to be back here at Landers for another year of these halacha shiurim, these Thursday night shiurim. Thank you all for coming. I hope you come back. So tonight, I wanted to start, since we're just a couple of days before Rosh Hashanah, I thought it would be an appropriate time to talk about Shiloh. Let's start like this. For those who haven't been at this shiur yet, who don't know what this shiur is about, what we decided to do last year, and it seemed to have worked, so we're continuing on, along the same topic. If you think it's not working, let me know. Maybe we could switch topics, but it seemed to have worked. That I get a lot of shilas from different people because I happen to be a shul rabbi, and after 17 years of teaching, some talmidim ask shilas, and they and some of the questions are very, vanilla. I forgot Yala Viava, what do I do? And some of the questions are very interesting. So I try to pick the more interesting questions and share them with you, and we work through the answers together. So that's the idea of this year. So but we try to pick questions that somehow thematically, at least around the Yom Tovim times, relate to the Yom Tovim that we have coming up. So Rosh Hashanah, how many Rosh Hashanah shaylas can you have? What are most Rosh Hashanah shaylas about? Shofar, right? So that's not something that's going to come up right now. That's going to come up, either came up already last Rosh Hashanah, or is going to come up in middle of Shul, and if you don't know it, on the spot, then you're in trouble. So that's a different kind of thing. Those you're not going to get too often where you're going to have such interesting shofar shilas. And if you have a question about the kashrus of the shofar, the yichus of the shofar, if it was formed by a machine or something, okay, so you get some. But the interesting questions I got this year relate to two topics. One is tshuva. Those are always the most interesting, because when you're dealing with people who have to do tshuva for something, they have a story, and the story is usually very interesting. And the other type of shaila that I've gotten this year in particular is shehechyanu shailas. Now that is not the most common, that you get shehechyanu questions. So I'm going to share with you both questions, both the tshuva question and a couple of shehechyanu questions, and you'll tell me which one you want me to discuss first. If we get to both of them, great. If we don't, not, but I'll tell you both shaylas. They're both emails, so I could just read it to you straight from the email. Actually, no, the tshuva one I can't read to you straight from the email because the first line was, please do not read this shayla straight. So we're not going to do that. But I did get permission to use it. He said I just shouldn't read the same words. I got permission from the person. I got an anonymous email from a person. There was no identifying characteristics of the email other than the fact that the person identified himself as a high school boy and that he doesn't know how to spell the word anonymous. Those are the only identifying characteristics of the email. The truth is, I assume anonymous@gmail.com was taken already, so you have to mess around with the word a little bit in order to make it work. So the shaila that he sent was as follows. He said that when he was younger, this young man, I assume he means before bar mitzvah, when he was a child, he had an issue that he would always steal. He enjoyed stealing because he liked having things, and other people had them, and he wanted them, so he stole. How did he steal? So sometimes he would take something out of his friend's backpack. Sometimes he would lie to get things. For example, if let's say the camp that he was in was running some sort of contest, or a school was running some sort of contest, and if you do X amount of hours of whatever, you get a prize, or if you win this race, you get a prize. So he'd cut through the back, or he'd lie about the hours that he put in. So he was the biggest masmid and the biggest, and he always got all the prizes. So he would get all these things that he wasn't really supposed to get. Sometimes he, let's see, what other examples did he give? Okay, he gave other examples. He did a lot of interesting things in order to take money that didn't belong to him. I see Taka, he doesn't know how to spell anonymous, even in the text of the email. So his shaila is as follows. First of all, now he's older, and he wants to do tshuva for what he did. If you stole something, what's the way to do tshuva? You return it, right? And if you stole money from someone, or if you stole something of value and you don't have it, you return the value of what you stole. So he wants to know, A, does he have to do that? Because he did this when he was a katan. B, most of the items he doesn't have, and he doesn't really have all that much money that he has access to. Because if you're a high school kid, you don't have access to that much money. You probably have money somewhere in a college account or in the savings from the bar mitzvah money, but you don't have access to that money. How would he gain access to that money? He would only gain access to that money by asking his parents for the money. And his parents would say, what do you need the money for? Well, I used to steal all the time. You did what? So he'd rather not have that conversation. So he wants to know if he could avoid that conversation. Can he maybe pay back by skimming a little lunch money off each time, you know, and using that to pay back slowly? And does he have to confront the people that he remembers that he stole from? Call up the administration of the yeshiva that he went to and say, you know, you remember that, I don't know, what do schools give out as prizes or whatever, that iPod or bicycle or whatever, svarim that you gave me, you know, well, I got to the part of the sefer where it says, thou shalt not steal, and now I feel bad. So he doesn't want to have these conversations. He'd rather not have to go and ask for mechila. So that was his shayla. So many-fold shayla in terms of tshuva. That was shayla number one. Shaila number two relating to Shachianu. It's actually got two shailas relating to Shachianu. One was from a dentist, a guy who does implant dentistry. So he fits people with implants, and just recently he had a patient whose teeth were so messed up that the guy has been unable to eat solid foods for decades. He's been eating mush, he's been eating like applesauce. And now he's finally saved up enough money to be able to afford implants. And for the first time, he's going to be able to eat like a mensch. He's going to be able to eat normal foods. And the guy in the dentist chair, he's getting it right now. It's right before Rosh Hashanah. And the guy says, you know, I could probably make a Shachianu on this. This is going to be my first time to be able to... So should I... He asked... So his first mistake, you're not supposed to ask your dentist the Shailas, you're supposed to ask your rabbi the Shailas. But he said, should I make a Shachianu on my new teeth? Then he started thinking, maybe I should make Hatova Meitiv on my new teeth, because it was so annoying for my wife. She was never able to cook. She always had to pulverize everything. She could never make anything. So now, when do you know the rule? When do you say Shachianu? When do you say Hatova Meitiv? Anyone know the rule? Good. If it's for one person, it's Shachianu. So when you buy a car, for example, if you buy like a midlife crisis car where there's only room for one person in the car, so then you make a Shachianu. But if you buy a family automobile that the whole family is going to enjoy, then you say Hatova Meitiv. Not if you lease, if you buy, if you actually gain ownership of it, then it's Hatova Meitiv. So something you buy a bayis chadash, a new house, or even if it's just new to you, the Shulchan Aruch says, you would say Hatova Meitiv if the whole family is going to live there. So that's Hatova. So you're saying maybe this is not just something, it's my own personal simcha, it's a simcha for my whole family, because we'll be able to serve normal food, we'll have steak again, so maybe we should make Hatova Meitiv. And so that was one Shachianu Shaila. The other Shachianu Shaila I just got the other day, a guy sent me, and I think I'm allowed to quote this email. He said as follows: a friend of mine, after a ton of work, shechted 10 elk. You know the guy? Yeah? Okay, I was thinking... Is that what Santa Claus uses? Is he going to be out of business this year? I shouldn't say in this one. Okay, shechted... No, reindeer. Uses reindeer. Okay, so he shechted 10 elk. Five were Beit Yosef, and they were menaker by a Syrian Rav in Flatbush. He's selling the front half under the Star K, because the front half is Ashkenazi food. The back half is Sephardi food, right? So he's selling the front half under the Star K, the back half under the Sephardi Rav Sashkacha. It's quite expensive, and I'm paying the Ashkenazi premium for the front half, hoping to buy it for Rosh Hashanah. Now, mind you, the person who sent me this email is someone who enters barbecuing contests, meaning he's not like a guy who happens to eat meat and is like, oh, this is good, this is tasty. Like, he puts a lot of thought into his meat and into his food, specifically his meat. And he will find out the best way to cook it by marinating it in whatever kind of spice or gravy he's supposed to, and cook it, slow cook it for 36 hours on one of the six grills that he has in his backyard. You know, like this kind of guy. So there is nothing that gives him a greater geschmack in life, I mean, other than Torah, than this, than getting the front of an elk to barbecue for Rosh Hashanah. So Shaila is, it's my first time eating elk. It's very rare, it's expensive, and it's special. Do we say Shechianu? So these are the Shechianu. So we can either talk Shechianu or we can talk Tshuva. Any preferences? And maybe we'll get to both. But what? Tshuva first. Okay, so we'll talk Tshuva first. So in order to answer the question, just about this person who stole in the past, I think the best way to approach this question is, first let's talk about what would the halacha be if all of this was as an adult. If he did all of these things as an adult. He stole while he was an adult, and now he wants to do tshuva as an adult. And then we'll have to look at what does the fact that he was a child when he did all these things make a difference? So right off the bat, if you steal as an adult, can you anonymously put the money in an envelope and just stick it in the guy's mailbox? Put it somewhere and stick it in the guy's mail slot, put it in his house? Or do you have to ask for mechila? Is the way, we know there's a mitzvah in the Torah, mitzvah d'oraisa. When you steal, it's not a mitzvah we hope ever to do, but it's a mitzvah heishves exela. You have to return that which you stole. If you no longer have that which you stole, you have to return the value of that which you stole. That is a mitzvah mid'oraisa. Does that mitzvah also include, or is there a separate mitzvah, separate requirement to ask for mechila? Have you done enough when you made restitution? So this is an explicit Mishnah in Maseches Baba Kama. The Mishnah writes in Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Sadi Beis, Perek Chovel, that a person needs to be Meratze Es Chavero. It's not enough to just return the money. You have to make amends also. You have to ask for Mechila as well. The Rambam paskins this in Hilchos Tshuva, as you might expect. The Rambam, in the second parak of Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Tes, the parak that many of us will be learning on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. As Rav Salvechik used to say, the Rambam wrote 10 parakim of Hilchos Tshuva, not by accident. He was setting a curriculum for Aseres Yimei Tshuva, that you should have one parak each and every day. So in the second parak of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes, Ein HaTshuva V'lo Yom HaKippur Mechaper Ne'ela Al Averos Ben Adam L'makom. The Yom Kippur and Tshuva is only Mechaper for Averos Ben Adam L'makom. Aval, Averos Ben Adam L'chavero. But Averos Ben Adam L'chavero. Kigon, Hachovel Es Chavero. Oh, a Mekal El Chavero. Someone hits his friend or someone curses his friend. Oh, goes low. Or someone robs his friend. Uchayotzi Ben. And such similar Averos, you can use your imagination. There are a lot of Averos Ben Adam L'chavero. Eino nimcha lo li olam atshiyitin l'chavero mashu chayiv lo v'yiratzehu. A person has to do two things. You have to give him back what you owe him. That's certainly, kamuvan, that's the mitzvah d'arayis of eshva zegzela. And you have to be meratzeh him. You have to appease him. Afal b'yishichzer l'momot shu chayiv lo tzarech l'ratzosa v'lishol mimenu shiyim chalo. That's what the Rambam paskins. So it seems open and shut. Of course you have to ask for mechila. If this was an adult, I don't care how embarrassing it is, you have to ask for mechila. He doesn't want to do it because he wants to save face. It's very embarrassing for him. So I mentioned this to another Rav, and this Shaila, and he said to me, you know, maybe it relates a little bit to the Chavetz Chaim Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Machlokas, the famous Machlokas Chavetz Chaim Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Chavetz Chaim Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Machlokas, you have to ask for mechila when the person is going to be more hurt by the Bakashas Mechila than they were in the first place. I mean, what are you going to do? You have a person who, as far as he knows, you were always good to him, and you know, and ignorance is bliss, he's been happy, and you're going to go and say, I'm sorry about that thing that I told to everyone, you know, to your neighbors and to your wife and to your boss and to your... What thing that you told? You know, about how, and you say like these awful things, and the person's going to, now he's going to be looking over his shoulder constantly, and he's going to be, it's going to be much, much worse for him. He'd be much better off not knowing that you told him any of these things. So is it better to ask for the mechila? And he's going to be very hurt. He's going to be very hurt by hearing about the fact that you told. He wasn't hurt until now, because what he doesn't know can't hurt him. It used to be that when people would speak Lashon Hara, it's possible that the person who Lashon Hara was spoken about would never find out, because it wasn't always on Facebook. Now it's always on Facebook, so they'll always find out. But it used to be that they wouldn't find out. So he's going to be more hurt by it than he ever was. It's Machlokas Chavetz Chaim and Rizal Salanter, whether you should be mvakish mechila. What's the machlokas about? Is the point to do something good for him, or is the point to suffer through the busha of asking for mechila so you can get a kapara? Is it more focused on him, or is it more focused on you? So this guy wanted a taina, this other rav wanted a taina, that maybe if you hold that it's about doing what's best for him, maybe it's best for these people not to know who stole from them, that it's going to hurt them to know who stole from them. I don't know, I think that's a little bit of a stretch, no? This was years ago. Whatever he stole out of the knapsack, it's really going to hurt them? It's so insulting that my friend stole out of my net. They were kids, and the kid did something that was wrong. I don't think that's going to be a heter over here. I don't remember. I think it was Rabbi Sa'i. I think it's what you'd expect. I think it's, I think the Chavetz Chaim says you do have to ask, and the Shlomo Salanter says not, I think. Anyone know? Yeah, I'm right? Yeah, I think, yeah. So, okay. So, So I don't think that's going to be a heter. But I saw in, there's a very nice sefer, Sedesfarim, called Kovetz Halachos. There's a Talmud of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky that must spend like every waking hour of the day with Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, because he gets his psak and everything. And he wrote up svarim of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky's psakim, relating to the Yom Tovim. So he has a volume on Yom Noraim, and in that volume on Yom Noraim, in Kovitz Halachas Perchav Hei, Os Yur Aleph, he says that Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky understood the halacha as follows. Why is it that you have to ask for mechila? You have to ask for mechila for stealing? No, the way you fix stealing is by returning the money. So why are you asking for mechila? Because normally when you steal from somebody, you stole someone's wallet. So the person's going to be walking down the street, and they're going to stick their head in their pocket, and they're going to look for their wallet, and say, oh gosh, I lost my wallet. It's going to ruin their whole day. They're going to be so upset they lost their wallet, they've got to cancel their credit cards, and it's a headache. There's a teacher in DRS who's a big tzaddik. His name is Mr. Mark. His car was stolen yesterday, and I said, he must be so upset. He said, yeah, I know, because I don't care about the car, but I don't know what the Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to tell me. I can't figure out what Hashem is trying to tell me. Most people aren't like that. Most people are worried by more than just what Hashem is trying to tell them. They have Agmas Nefesh from it. It causes Agmas Nefesh. So if you stole from a person and you caused him Agmas Nefesh, you have to ask for Mechila for the Agmas Nefesh that you caused him. That's why the Mishnah says in Baba Kama that if you steal something from somebody and he doesn't know yet that you stole from him, you could just put it back. And he'll never know, and that's fine. As long as you're putting it in the same place where it was, it's a Makom Meshumar, it's perfectly fine. So that's fine. You don't have to ask for Mechila. He never has to know. And that makes a lot of sense, that the whole Mechila is only to the Agmas Nefesh that it caused him. But what if it didn't cause any Agmas Nefesh? Take the case where the kid lied on his thing. He said that he learned 27 hours a day. So that beat the other kid who lied and said that he learned 24 hours a day. But he said he learned, and they never added up the numbers. So he said he learned for 27 hours a day and he won a prize from the yeshiva. So the yeshiva didn't have any Agmas Nefesh. What do you mean? They were so proud of him. I mean, how many yeshivas have boys that learn 27 hours a day? They were very proud of him. The other boys didn't have any Agmas Nefesh from it because it was fair and square. That was they didn't think they lost out because of him. Or probably the other kids who would have otherwise, maybe a little Agmas Nefesh there. Does he really think he should have won? He knows that it's ours. He lost fair and square. I mean, he thinks. So I don't know. Maybe you could argue in that case that there's no Agmas Nefesh. Maybe you could argue in that case that there's no Agmas Nefesh. But in a case where you pull things out of a kid's backpack, I don't think you could argue there's no Agmas Nefesh there. Adrabah. With a child, sometimes you pull something out of it. I have children. Sometimes they come home and you gave them $5 to pay for tomorrow's lunch money on the trip or whatever it is. And what happened to the $5? I don't know. Did you give it in for the lunch money on the trip? No. Did Mora take it out of your bag? I don't know. And it's just gone. So the parent is going to tell the kid, you're so responsible, how could you know, blah, 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 blah. And the kid's going to feel sad, and it's going to... That's Agmas Nefesh. A child does Agmas Nefesh also. Rav Palm's grandson told me that he was walking with his grandfather once. He was walking with Rav Palm in a shopping mall? I don't know, I can't imagine. But in a store somewhere. And there was a child with his mother, and the child was misbehaving. And the mother said to the child, bad boy, you're a bad boy. And the Rav Palm's grandson, Binyamin, looks over to Rav Palm and he sees he's got tears coming down his face. And he says, Zaidi, is everything all right? And he said, how could she say that to him? He's a bad guy. How could she call him that? How could she say such a thing to him? She could say, you didn't do the right thing. How could she say such a thing? To be sensitive to a child's feelings. Children have feelings also, and you cause Agmas Nefesh to a child. Okay, we don't all have the sensitivity of a Rav Palm, but we should have some sensitivity to a child's feelings. Also, Dimas and Metzia, the same reason Yasam Valmana, that a person has to be especially nice, and to one's wife, a person has to be especially kind, and especially, because Dimas and Metzia cry easily. Children cry very easily. A person has to be sensitive to a child's feelings. So I don't think, if we were talking about an adult, I don't think we'd have any hatred. I think he would have to return the money, he would have to figure out the value of whatever he stole and try to return that, he'd have to go and ask for mechila. But we're not talking about an adult, we're talking about a child. So does it change when we're talking about a child? So I think it does, in a significant way. It's not just me that thinks it does, the Shulchan Aruch thinks it does. Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Shin Mem Tes Siv Gimel, Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef is medayik the following. The Gemara in Perek HaChovel in the Pesayin HaMadal tells us that there are some people where if you get into a monetary dispute with certain people, so you have, it's a 50-50 battle. You know, whatever, you have the same rights that they have, and, you know, you go to a base, and everything will work out fair and square. But there are some people where if you get into some sort of monetary dispute, it's really not worth it for you. It's a losing battle. So the Mishnah says, Cheresh Shota V'Katan Pegiyasan Ra'ah. If you want to pick a fight with someone, try to avoid a Cheresh Shota V'Katan. Pegiyasan Ra'ah. Why? Hachovel Bahem Chayiv. If you beat them up, you're going to be chayiv to pay for any damage that you do to them. V'Hem Shachovel B'Cheirim Peturim. But if they come and they assault you, they're going to be pater. They're not going to have to pay for anything. Ha'eved va'isha, pegiyasam ra. Gemara goes vaiter, Mishnah says vaiter. Ha'eved va'isha, an eved and a woman, pegiyasam ra. Bad idea to start up with an eved or an isha. Why? Ha'chovel bahem, you damage them, you hurt them, you assault them. Chayiv, you're going to have to pay for it. Ve'hem sha'chovel ba'cherim, peturim. But if they're chovel ba'cherim, they're pater. What a deal! An isha gets off. A woman can assault whoever she wants. She could go work out and then just beat the gezuntheit out of everybody. How's that? That's allowed, and she doesn't have to pay anything. So no, we're talking about an ishas ish. She's married. So what? So a married woman is allowed to assault people? She's not allowed to assault people. No one's allowed to assault people. But it's a question of whether she's going to have to pay. And the problem is she has no money. All of her money is under the control of her husband. So that's why Pegiyasam Ra, she's not going to be able to pay for it. So says the Mishnah. However, Nisgarsha Ha'isha V'nishtachra Ra'eved Chayavim L'shalim. If the woman becomes divorced, or if the Eved is freed, then they have to pay. Then they're going to have to pay for what they did. Says Beis Yosef, aren't we missing a line in that Gemara? It should have said, Nisgadel HaKotan, Kotan Shenisgadel, Chayiv L'shalim. Like, Katan is Pegiyasan Ra, he's not going to have to pay for anything. But it should have said that when the Katan grows up, he's going to have to pay. It doesn't say that, though. So says Beis Yosef, in Shimnam Tassin, Choshe Mishpot, Midolo Katan, Igabe Katan, Higdil HaKotan, Chayiv L'shalim, Mashma Da'afilu Higdil Pater. The implication is that even if the Katan grows up, he's going to be Pater. Yeah.
Is the woman chayiv to pay back the damage she took when she was divorced, or when she was still married?
Even with what she did when she was married, because she was really chayiv. It was just that she didn't have any money to pay with. But the katan is different, because the katan is not a bar chiyuva. Right, why doesn't the husband have to pay for it? It's not me, I'm not the one that did it. My wife has her own mind, she's the one that did it. It's not like short of a chamora, where you can lock it up or whatever. That's not. There's no expectation of that. Presumably, like the Rambam and Shuv put them all together, right? The Chiyuvim of Hashava would probably be the same. Right? Why would it be different? Now, if she obviously, if a woman has the thing that she stole, she has to return it. But let's say she stole money and she gambled it away. Football season starting, she joined the fantasy football league because she heard that that's what everyone has to do. And she got an app on her phone where you could lose all your money just by from the comfort of your living room. You don't even have to get off your couch. You can lose all your money without getting off your couch. And that's what she did. So she gambled it all the way already. So now she's so l'chora, she has to wait till she's divorced, and then she'll once the husband discovers that she gambled away all the money, so they'll get divorced, and then she'll have to pay for it when she has her own money. Okay, so that's what Shulchan Aruch writes. Now, if the item is still intact, like we pointed out, then of course she's going to have to return the item. And anyone would have to, the katan also obviously would have to return the item when he grows up if the item is still intact. There is a discussion. What? Ah, so why is that? So why do you think that is? Why, if the item is still intact, you have to return it? Ah, exactly. Because you're holding something that doesn't belong to you, it's not yours. So since you have an item that's not, you don't have to pay your own money to pay back to do a mitzvah of Eishev HaSegzela when the Isser was done when you were a katan. But over here, it's not your own money. It's something that still belongs to someone else. So you have to ask. So this is a discussion in the Chuvus Eretz Tzvi, the Kazhe Glover Gaon. My favorite, not just because Kazhe Glover Gaon is a fun name to say, but his name was Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer. So he's the only gadol I know of that I have the same name as him. No one had Aryeh Tzvi. My name is Aryeh Tzvi. So Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer, the Kazhe Glover, has a tshuva about that. Whether you would say, whether if there was Yeish Kodem Shenizgadel, we'd just say maybe there's no chiyuv to return. because then maybe he was baliyado behetim. Because he's only baliyado when he was nisgadin. So maybe you'd say such a thing. He has an interesting tshuva about that. Ksav Sofer has the following chiddush. Ksav Sofer suggests in the tshuva, in Archaim Sim Kuf Chavav. So what, I have the keys in Ksav Sofer? No, I'm not Rav Sacks. I don't have the keys in anything. But there's a sefer that I purchased, I don't know, about 10 years ago, called HaKatan VeHilchosav. Three volumes on anything you want to know about a katan. It was the best purchase. It was first of all, no one has it, and whenever you need anything about a katan, Baruch Hashem, I'm a shul that has, I'm a rav of a shul that has a lot of young families with young children. A lot of shailas come up about katanim. So of course he has 5 pages on if a katan steals something. So he shakes out every maramakam. So he's got a ksav sofer. So a ksav sofer, Chubas ksav sofer, Chaim Sim Kuv Chavav, says that there's no mitzvah hashavas hagzela in this case because there was no iser violated. The mitzvah, because the guy was not bar chiyuva. The mitzvah of hashavas hagzela is only when you violated the iser. But the person never violated the iser. So if you have the item and you have to return it simply because you're holding on someone else's item. But the reason there's no vehesh was because you never violated the iser. Oh, for sure, if you would, the Shulchan Aruch says that explicitly, we'll get to that in a second, that for sure there's a chiyuv chinuch if a child stole something to tell him to return it. But this is years later, it's not chinuch anymore, now he's an adult. No, but that's not his own chiyuv, that's his parents' chiyuv to be mechanichim, let's say. Let's make it simple, say it that way. It's parents' chiyuv to be mechanichim. Now, it's preferred to Shulchan Aruch that he doesn't have to return it, right? So you have to. So the Ksav Sofer says that the reason he doesn't have to return it is because there can't be a mitzvah of Eishvah Zekzela when the person was not a baruch, when the person didn't violate the Yisra of stealing. So in this Sefer HaKatan V'Chosav, he's not convinced that that cheshbon is correct at all. It could be there is a mitzvah of Eishvah Zekzela even when you didn't violate stealing. For example, the Ramban in, I think number 17 in the mitzvah Sheshachach HaRambam. The Ramban wrote Asagos on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam counted up the 613 mitzvos. One of the biggest kashas in all the Sefer HaMitzvos that were written by Rishonim is L'may Nafka Mina. Who cares whether something's a separate mitzvah, it's part of another mitzvah? It's not an argument whether it's a halacha or not. Everyone agrees that there are thousands of halachos, it's just a matter of how you count mitzvahs. Very, very strong kasha, L'may Nafka Mina, whether something's a mitzvah or not. But the Rishonim spent time on it. Not that much time, probably, but they spent time at least writing the Sefer HaMitzvos. You get the impression from the Rambam that the Rambam was the first one that really worked on it, you know, because he, Rav Sadigon wrote a poem, it was a 2-page poem, but then Rav Yochanan Fishel Porlah wrote a commentary, so now it's 3 big fat volumes. But the Rambam wrote rules. He wrote rules of how to count mitzvahs, and the Ramban had what to say about it. So the Ramban has a clever way of saying it. Instead of saying, I disagree, he says there are mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot about. The Rambam didn't forget about any mitzvahs. The Rambam knew all the mitzvahs. But the Ramban writes, so one of the mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot is Hachzaras Ribis. That if you charge interest, you have to return what you charge. You have to return the interest that you charged. So this is Sefer Megillas Esther, not to be confused with Megillas Esther. The Sefer Megillas Esther on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos defends the Rambam from all the asagas of the Ramban. So the Sefer Megillas Esther says the Rambam didn't forget this. He already counted Veshva Zekzela. And returning Ribbis is part of Veshva Zekzela. Do you violate Lasigzel when you charge Ribbis? No, you violate Ribbis. But apparently you can have a mitzvah Eishev HaZegzela, according to the Rambam, at least the way the Megillas Esther understands, even if you didn't violate stealing. That's one raya he has. There's a Tshuva Sered Vaz that says, Priyas Palchov is a kiyum of Eishev HaZegzela also. That when you borrow money from someone, you have to pay them back. I didn't steal, I borrowed money from them. I pay them back, Eishev HaZegzela. It's a kiyum mitzvah Eishev HaZegzela. There's also a Mishra Brura that says that Ona'a is a lava nitik la'asei, because you have the asei of Eishev HaZegzela. So what's Ona'a? You overcharge someone. I just had a case like this where we'll save it for another shayla, for another week. But you have cases where someone overcharges by a lot. So he has a mitzvah to return it. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Taf Reish Vav, Luchos Yom Kippurim, that that's Veishev HaZegzela. It's a nitik la'asei. But where's the Isser of stealing? He didn't violate stealing, he violated Ona'a. It's a different Isser. So to say this cheshbon, that one is connected to the other, very difficult to say. And then there's a fascinating chiddush that may change the whole story over here. Because right now, where are we with this guy? Let's just, you know, hold cup over here. The guy stole things when he was a katan, now he's an adult. According to the halacha, psuka, and shulchan aruch, based on the diuk and the Beis Yosef makes from the Mishnah and Achovel, the halacha is pater. Right? That's where we are, that he's potter. There's a tshuva from Rabbi Yitzchak Elchana. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchana Spector, not to be confused with the yeshiva. So in this tshuva is Nachal Yitzchak. So he writes in the tshuva, Nachal Yitzchak Simon Zayin Anaf Dalud. His tshuvas are not learned that much, not as much as probably they should be. So he writes in, he's the Posek Ador, he writes in a tshuva that if a child stole when he was already had a reasonable amount of das, he's already an older child, then it's an Issa Daraisa for him to steal, he violated an Issa Daraisa and he'd be chayv nashava. Why? He said, just think about it. Let's say a guy steals. Does a guy have to return what he stole? Yeah, a guy's not allowed to steal. A guy's absolutely obligated to return what he stole. He definitely has a requirement to return what he stole. A guy's not allowed to steal. Isra daraisa for a guy to steal. How old of a guy? What if the guy is 12? Is it an isra daraisa for him? So what are you going to say? No, he's not bar mitzvah yet. He's a guy. He's not going to be bar mitzvah. So when do the chiyuvim of the sheva mitzvahs kick in for a guy? It happens to be there's a whole literature on this topic of whether we go with we would say that a guy also has like a bar mitzvah, or you'd say that it would depend on whenever he comes to some level of das. But many of the poskim assume Rav Yosef Engel has what to say about this, and many, many other achronim have what to say about this. It was sort of innocent Sachs in one of his shiurim last year. I was listening to the Kiddushin shiurim. Point that Rav Yosef Engel wrote the Sefer Chosen Yosef, which is his ha'aris on the Avnei Miluim, right? His ha'aris on the Avnei Miluim. So Sachs said, how did he come about writing the Chosen Yosef? Because he got very sick, he couldn't see well, his eyes needed to be rested. So the doctors told him, you can't read. And it's like that's telling him he can't breathe. You can tell him Yosef Engel, he can't learn. So he had someone read to him. The Avnei Miluim. What else would you have someone read to you? So he had someone read to him the Avnei Miluim. And he would dictate Ha'aras in the Avnei Miluim and he had the same Chosin Yosef. Most of us, what would we say? We say, can't read. Okay, can I watch TV? But Rav Yosef Engel, you know, there's no excuses. No excuses. You can't read, you still learn. Anyway, so Rav Yosef Engel has all the riches on this topic. But Rav Yisrael Chanan says, it's pashut that the guy becomes a bar mitzvah whenever he has das. So you're going to tell me a 12-year-old guy, it's an Issa D'Oraisa for him to steal, and a 12-year-old Jew is not?
There are lots of things that...
The Gemara in Sanhedrin said, it can't be Mikamidi. Could it be such a thing that for a guy he's going to be Aser, and for a Jew he's going to be Mutter? So that's the Chiddush of Yisrael Chanan, that it may be an Issa D'Oraisa for a Jew. Okay, it's a Chiddush, because it's against the Pashtus and Shulchan Aruch. Pashtus and Shulchan Aruch is certainly not that way.
Even if it's an Issa D'Oraisa for him to steal, he has to have Shabbat.
Is a goy chayiv in tshuva?
No, the kid.
Does the kid have to? Oh, okay, good. Right. Meaning that may say he has to return it, but maybe that he doesn't have to do tshuva. Very good. Right. That would not lechara not. Now, well, that's a good question. I'm not sure. There is another maramakam in Shulchan Aruch, though. If you only look in Chosha Mishpat, you only get half the story over here. There's one more maramakam in Shulchan Aruch that's critical. It's a Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos? What does that do with Hilchos Shabbos? Rama writes in Hilchos Shabbos, you know how you don't want your child playing with muktzah toys on Shabbos. You don't want him doing Yisurim for you on Shabbos. Some people do. Oh, we left the light off. Just tell the kid to do it. That's not okay. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to just ask a child to do all sorts of malachas for you on Shabbos. But the Rama writes, and the Rama talks about keeping a child away from Yisurim. And the Rama writes in Shimnam Gimel, V'katan shehika es aviv, o avar shara verus b'katnusa. A child hit his parent. It happens sometimes. Kids get so angry, they start striking the parent. Or he did some other avera when he was a child. Even though he doesn't need to do tshuva, you hear the lashon? Tovlo sheyikabel atzmo ezedava l'tshuva l'kapara. What does that imply to you? Whatever tshuva normally requires, go a notch below. He doesn't have to do the full extent of what, if you stole from somebody, not you, if someone stole from somebody, and he's got to do tshuva, he's got to, right away, return everything, get mechila, right away. You can't wait. But maybe for a katan, ezeh davar l'tshuva l'chaparu. Afal pisha avar kodim shenasa baronshin. even though he violated the Avera before he was ever a Baronshin. Mishabura on the spot says, and what if he stole? Mishabura says, Katon Shaganav Oshehizik. So first of all, if he stole the Katon, what you were saying before, someone was saying before, I remember, Roy LeBezin La Kosso Shalei Argilba. Beis Din should set him straight. Got to make sure he doesn't develop a habit over here. Avalein Tzaruch L'Shali Mimena Gneva Ben. But if he doesn't have it, he doesn't have to pay back. That's what the halacha was in Chosh Mishpat. V'kol Zeh Midina, says the Mishmura. Aval Lefnim Yishuras Adin Bein Shech... I think I had a typo when I typed this up. Whatever it was, oh, shehizik lo b'mamono, bein shechavol bo begufo, that's what it says, nachafer, chavol bo begufo, oh, shehizik lo b'mamono, tzarech l'shalim lo. Whether he assaulted someone, whether he stole from someone, he's going to have to pay him back. And Sharatzin, he says, even if it was only b'derech garmi, even if it was an indirect damage, still she'll have to pay back. Now, if you look in the Trumas Hadeshen, which is the source of the Ramah, Trumas Hadeshen is one of the more important svarim that people often don't look inside in the Trumas Hadeshen, because the Ramah quotes it on Kemat every page in Shulchan Aruch. He's always quoting Trumas Hadeshen, the Gedolei Ashkenaz. In Trumas Hadeshen, he says that you don't have to pay back the entire amount right away. So that's what the Ramah, it's exactly what we were saying. When the Ramah says something for some sort of tshuva, some sort of kapara, it means that take a little bit of lunch money today and put it aside to pay back. A little bit of lunch money tomorrow, put that aside to pay back. You don't have to go to your parents and say, can you take away from my bar mitzvah savings or whatever, the college savings, whatever you might have. It is important to note, though, that it's two things. First of all, the Radvaz writes in the Tshuva that it's a good idea for a person to tshuva with Zachayv Mikra Din, because if a person already developed a habit as a young child, without going through that process of tshuva, he's going to be mevakesh limuda. His yetzer hara is going to be misgaber, and he's going to look for the things. It's still, you can't defeat that yetzer hara unless you confront it. So he needs to do the tshuva just because it was part of who he is. It was part of his personality. So the tshuva process, even though it may not be mandatory for him, is probably a very good idea. To go through the charata and aziva sachet, obviously, kabbalah alasir, obviously, vidui even, go through the whole process of tshuva, the self-cleansing process of tshuva. And the other point is that if you are the victim that he builds up the courage to apologize, sometimes people like to stand on ceremony. You did what? I don't know if I'm ready to be mochli yet. In general, when someone comes and apologizes for something, it's important to realize that that's not easy for people to do. And as a takanas hashavim, we should make it easy for them. If someone apologizes, as a takanas hashavim, make it easy for people to do tshuva. We should be we should be receptive to their tshuva. But not only if you're the victim. If you're the rabbi that they ask the shaila to, that has to be part of the cheshbon. Whenever someone asks a tshuva shaila, about how do I do tshuva for this, do I have to... Takanas hashavim is very important. Think about not just what, you know, obviously you have to think about what the Svarim say and what's black and white, but you have to think about what's going to work for this person. And what's going to enable him, because if what you tell him says, it causes him to say, well, I can't do that, forget it, then you haven't done your job. So you have to come up with whatever Takanas Shavim works within the law, within the confines of the halacha. You have to try to come up with Takanas Shavim. In this case, it happens to be pretty easy, because it's black and white in Shulchan Aruch, that he's allowed to do. You know, that he doesn't really need tshuva mikra din, and whatever he does is all the pnim yishuras din. So it happens to be pretty easy. Now, the Behuda sets the standard for this. You know, the famous Nodi Behuda, Madura Kama, Simon Lamed Hay, in Or HaChaim, where the Nodi Behuda was asked by that crazy guy that had this affair with a woman whose daughter he was about to marry, a crazy little story, and he says, I need to do tshuva, but you got to go easy on me because I'm a yeshiva bachur and I'm learning Yom and Valayla, so how do I do tshuva for the fact that I had an affair with my future mother-in-law for 3 years straight without ever telling my father-in-law? You know, that kind of thing. And he also, the other part of the shaila is more interesting, la halacha. They're both interesting. The other part of the shaila was, do I have to tell my father-in-law? Because he probably is not going to be so happy. So, and his taina why he wouldn't have to tell is that it's kavod abrius. But really the family's kavod abrius, because it was a chash of a family, it would be a big scandal, it wouldn't be good for anyone. But Nadi Yehuda writes to him. So the guy wanted to know, he said, if I do tshuvas hamishkal, you familiar with what tshuvas hamishkal is? where you go through all sorts of sigufim, and you whip yourself, and you roll around in the mud, and you fast the X amount of days for this Avera. So he says, if I do Tshuva Samishkal, I don't know if I can make it. So the Nadav Yehuda says, Tshuva Samishkal, if you lived Kishnos Misushalach, I don't think you could have enough time on this earth to do Tshuva Samishkal. But he says, I understand. So what we do, what we focus on in Tshuva, is Aziva Sachet, we have Charata, Aziva Sachet, Kabbalah Lasid Vidui, sincere Tshuva, cry about it, daven about it. Sincere tshuva. We focus more on the lave than anything else. So okay. So this is the tshuva shayla. Maybe one other time, some other time, we'll get to the shachianu shayla. Maybe Tu B'Shvat time, we'll get to the shachianu shayla. Okay. Have a chesiv eksim tayvah to everybody. If I don't know you, and I'm telling you now, I would like to. So please come over and introduce yourself. And if I forget your name, which I will, continually introduce yourself. Thank you.
Good 88% of the work week is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit Grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.